Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Vachim Daf Chof. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. The Gemara with which we will be commencing today's shiur is found at the upper part of Daf Chof. The second line from the top, you'll notice a house form, one of our geometric forms indicating a series or attempt to connect related ideas and topics. In this case, the house form will be part of a ma'akav, an attempt to keep track, whereby we will see questions and answers in a give-and-take form. Before we immerse ourselves in the sugya itself, we will take advantage of our introductory notes, or topic headings and structural notes that accompany our marked gemaras in the Shas Ozer edition. In our previous sukkah, we made mention of Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim. That's the washing of the hands and feet on the part of a kohen before he enters the service, before he starts the service of offering korbanos in the Beis HaMikdash. We also saw a machlokas between Rebbe and Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon concerning a situation where a kohen did Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim for nighttime activity in the Beis HaMikdash, and the question came up, what about if he wants to continue doing sacrifice service during the day? He wants to continue Avodas HaKorbanos during the day. Does he have to do Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim again? So we saw Shitas Rebbe is that he does, because the transition of time from nighttime to day established or created a situation known as lina. Lina is the idea of something laying over into a new time period and thereby becoming ruined as a result. The idea of lina is something that applies to many different examples within the realm of korbanos and Beis HaMikdash related matters. We saw Rabbi Elazar Rav Shimon, who said that lina doesn't passel when it comes to the Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim. The sugya that we will be opening up with deals with an issue concerning the effects of lina on the mei kior, on the water that's contained in the water tank, if you will, known as the kior, that sits in the azora of the Beis HaMikdash. When we will be discussing the kior, we're going to be talking about a kior that was not lowered into the ground. There is a situation that the lina will have no effect on the water in the kior if it has been lowered into the ground. And in other words, that's a certainty. If the kior has been lowered into the ground, it's considered attached to the ground, and as such, lina won't have an effect. The question we'll deal with, the Gemara will deal with, will be a situation of the kior, the mei kior, the water in a kior, if it hasn't been lowered into the ground. Let us look at the outside margin. We have a nosei mivne heading. Let us read what we have here by way of the notes. So in the outside margin, under the heading nosei, which is a topic, mivne, structural note, we've written in She'ela Shuva Al Yadei Rav Dimi. The Gemara will feature a question that's presented by Rav Dimi. Aliba de Rav Elazar Rav Shimon, the Ein Lina Poiselis Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim. According to Rav Elazar Rav Shimon, the opinion that we just made reference to, that holds that Lina does not ruin the Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim, Ma Dinam Shel Mei HaKior Be'inyan Psul Lina. What is the halacha with regard to the mei kior, the water in the kior, and the possible effects of lina on that? Once again, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon, lino does not ruin the kiddush yadayim v'raglayim. Rashi points out the fact that lino doesn't ruin kiddush yadayim v'raglayim doesn't necessarily prove the case of the may kior, because in the may, the kiddush yadayim v'raglayim is a situation where the water has been dried off. There's no more water there. It's a process that was done, and therefore Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon, concerning that, we'll say that lino doesn't possible. If the question arises concerning the water that's extant, that's around in the kior, that may be more susceptible to lino. The note continues saying, sukya zu mor keves. The topic that will be presented in the Gemara is rather complicated. Avol nitan l'tamtzeis hamahalach. However, we can summarize the approach. V'chein nitan l'rois kein ayidei shimush b'sagrayim. And we'll also be able to see things a little more clearly through the use of the brackets that will appear shortly in the Gemara. So we have, continuing in our note, number one, she'elas Rav Dimi. Mei kior, mahu shifsu v'lino, the Rav Elazar Shimon. The question will be, what is the effect that lino has or doesn't have on the water in the kior, in the water tank, in the azora? Number two, nisayon lifshot hashela, an attempt to answer this question, mimokor, from a source, de ben kotin, a source that features ben kotin, who was a personality who established a 12 faucets around the circumference of the kior. And that source is referred to as the source of Ben Kotin. The Royin, from that source, we see Delina Poiseles, that Lina does have an effect on the Mei Kior. V'salkadaitoch dahave aliva de Rabbi Shimon. And the initial thought of this sukkah is that that source that indicates that lino does have an effect on the mei kior is according to Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon. So that would answer the question. Then, dechia, the Gemara then will reject that by saying ditochein demokor ze alibo de Rebbe, that it's like it could be that this source is in fact, according to Rebbe, the machmir b'inyan lino, that has a stringency with regard to the effects of lino, as we mentioned earlier. That's the gist of the sugya. We will then see a house form that appears, that we see at the very beginning of the Gemara. The house form with the tip pointing upwards represents she'ela, question. When the house form is inverted, with the point facing downwards, Tshuva, klomar, nisayon laharos, tshuva, avol, kefishe misuman, ro'im dechoizeres hasheila. We will see that even though we attempt to provide an answer, we'll see through the markings that the question comes back. We'll also be using a trapezoid, or sometimes referred to as a volcano form, to havlotas, boi, and poshet, to emphasize the words boy, referring to a question, or push it, an attempt to give an answer. Let us now start the Gemara, aware of the fact that we'll have more geometric forms that appear in the course of the flow. The Gemara from the second line from the top, last word on the line, ki osa Rav Dimi. We should also note the use of the double underline. That's to emphasize the name Rav Dimi, Kiyosa Rav Dimi, and then later Kiyosa Rovin. Kiyosa Rav Dimi, Omar Rav Yochanan, when Rav Dimi came, he said over in the name of Rav Yochanan, boy Ilfa, that Rav Yochanan had said that Ilfa raised the question. L'divrei ha'oimer, according to the one that says, and we'll tell you immediately, that's Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon, whose name we've written in above. L'divrei ha'oimer ein lino mo'eles b'kiddush yadayim v'raglayim, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon, that lino does not have an effect on Kiddush Yudan Raglaim, as we mentioned, the transition from one time period to the next, from day, from nighttime to day, for example, does not ruin the Kiddush Yudan Raglaim that the Kohen did for the nighttime activity. Hence, he can continue working into the day. The question is, may Kior Ma'u Shivsalu? If he has this, the Kior, in the Azara, and did not lower it into the ground, does Lina ruin the water in the non-lowered Kior? Mi Amrinon, you'll notice we have a little Aleph here. This is the first side of the two sides of an analysis of this question. The second side is indicated by the base, preceded by the expression Oy Dilma Beis, that you see a couple lines from here. So Mi Amrinon Hani Lamai, one might say the water in the Kior is for what? L'Kiddush Yodayim Raglayim, it is for the washing of the hands and feet. Kiddush Yodayim Raglayim Gufayu Lo Pasil Behulina. Of course, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon, the Kiddush Yodayim Raglayim themselves are not ruined by Lina. Therefore, according to this side of the analysis, since the Mei Kior is for the purpose of Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim, and Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim is not ruined by Lina, so too the Mei Kior will not be ruined by the Lina. Oidoma, Kevon de Kodesh Lehu Bikli Shores Mifsal. Or, on the other hand, it could be that since the water is around, it's contained in a service vessel, in a holy vessel that's known as Kli Shores, the Kli Shores imparts unto the item in this case the water, it imparts unto it kedusha, a certain level of holiness, and that level of holiness makes it susceptible to lina, as opposed to, Rashi points this out, as opposed to the kiddush yadayim raglayim, the water is not there anymore, it's already been dried off the hands, therefore there is nothing for which the lina can take effect. We now encounter a bracketed section, and you can see the length of this section through our length indicator to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. You see a vertical dash dotted line. Now, what's the reason for these brackets? So let's read the note that we have in the inside margin next to the star. Matras ha-sugrayim, the purpose of these brackets is laharois da shelo shevi ravdimi nishar ad ha-toshma. It's just simply to indicate that the question was raised, and by the time we get to the Toshma that you see in a triangle at the seventh wide line of the Gemara, the beginning of the line, you'll notice a Toshma. More accurately, the sixth wide line of the Gemara. Up till that point, this question remains: the issue of Mei Kior. Are they affected? Is the water in the Kior affected by Lina? With that having been said, let's go over the bracketed section now. Ki also Ravin, Omar Rav Yirmiyah, Omar Rav Ami, Omar Rav Yochanan, Hader Poshet Ilfa. When Ravin came after Rav Dimi appeared. Ravin came bearing the news that Rav Yochanan said that Ilfa resolved the question. Notice we have indicated with this volcano shape the earlier stage was Boy Ilfa, and here we have emphasized this stage, Poshit Ilfa. He answers the question. Where Ilfa himself, who raised the question, he answers the question. Kemachlokes Bezu, kach machlokes Bezu. That just like there was a controversy between Rebbe and Rebbe Elazar ben Shimon concerning the Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim, the issue concerning the Mei Kior is of the same nature, the same machlokas, where Rebbe will say the Mei Kior is ruined by Lina, and Rebbe Elazar ben Shimon will say that it's not. We have the house form indicating that this is going to bring up the question again. Omar Lufonov Rebbe Yitzchok Bar Bisna. Rebbe Ato Omer Kain. Do you really say this? Hochi Omar Rabbi Ami Omar Rabbi Yochanan Mishmei de Ilfa. We have the following record of Rabbi Yochanan saying in the name of Ilfa, Kior Shelo Shoko Mibo Erev Mekadesh Menu Lavodis Lailo Ulamachar Eno Mekadesh. A Kior, the kior vessel that has in it the water for the kiddush yadayim v'raglayim, that was not submerged, that shalosh shoka wasn't lowered into the ground, mibo erev, it wasn't lowered into the ground before sundown, that water that's left, let's say, in the kior above the ground, is useful for kiddush yadayim v'raglayim of nighttime activity. However, ulamochar enu makadish, but that water cannot be used anymore for the next day's activity. In other words, lina would have had an effect. V'havinam ba, lamochar enu makadish. The statement here that lamochar enu makadish, what exactly does that mean? It's true, we just offered an explanation, but here we have to back up a moment and analyze. What does that mean, ulamochar enu makadish? There are two possibilities here. Aleph, and you'll notice, O Dilma Beis. The Lo Tzorach Likadosh, does it mean that he doesn't have to do the washing again? Namely, that the fact that he washed for the Avodas Laila is enough. He doesn't have to wash again for the next morning. O Dilma Ifsilu Belino. Or possibly, when it says L'mochreinu Mekadesh, it means it simply can't be used for daytime activity, in that lina ruined it, v'lo pashit lan, and this was not resolved. In other words, it was said in the name of Ilfa regarding the kior that was not lowered into the ground. He mentioned ulamocher eino mekadesh, and we asked, what does that mean? Does it mean that it's not affected or that it is ruined? And Ilfa never answered that. V'lo pashit lan, that wasn't answered. Umar, ko, poshit, le, mifshat, and to you. Notice the dotted underline. This is to draw your attention to the first of the widest lines where poshit was also dotted underline. So he's asking, look, when this question was raised, he didn't resolve it, and to you it was resolved. Because you said, poshit ilfa, that the status of the mekior parallels the machlokis by the Kiddush Yadayim V'raglayim itself. But here we dealt with the Mei Kior, and it wasn't resolved what happens to it. We had simply a phrase that was said by Ilfa that Ulamocher Einu Mekadesh, is that because he doesn't need to, or is it because that Lina does have an effect? At this point, we have a new geometric form, and we should take a look at the note we have in the outside margin. We've indicated the triangle with a note saying ma'akav, an attempt to keep track. With the point facing up, this will represent an answer, tshuva. Im hamoker de ben kotin havi alibi de Rebbe Elozer Reb Shimon. If we can establish that the source that we will see in the Gemara is according to the source known as the Ben Kotin source. If that source is according to Rebbe Elozer Reb Shimon, yesh tshuva l'sheila shevi Rav Dimi, then we'll have an answer to the question that Rav Dimi brought. We'll see the triangle flip over. D'chia, ha'gemora mar'eh d'mokor zeh yecholio saliva d'rebi. We'll then make a presentation that the source that we thought was according to Rebbe Elozer Reb Shimon might very well be according to Rebbe. The machmir beinyan hashpoas lino al hakidush. Rebbe has a strict opinion with regard to lino and its effect on kiddush yadayim raglayim. Yesh litzayin. We should point out da gemara tenase la arer dechiyazu. The gemara will try to weaken this last rejection. In other words, the point made under the last inverted triangle, the Gemara will try to weaken that. And if we can weaken the Dechia, Kedei Shiyeh Tshuva LaSheila. Through that, we would then have an answer to the original question. Al Yedei Nisoyon Laharos Dehoresho Shel HaMokar Deben Kotin Havi Aliba Derebi Elozer Rebbe Shimon. This will be accomplished if we can show that the resha of the Ben Kotin source is according to Rebbe Elozer Reb Shimon. If we can show that the resha, the first part of that source, is according to Reb Elozer ben Shimon, then we will have an answer to the Rav Dimi question. Aval basof, nisayon ze yikoshel v'yishor ha-dechia. This attempt to weaken the dechia will fail, and the dechia, the rejection, will remain. Hence, the original question will not receive an answer. We will be exposed to a subtopic we've labeled here the Tatnose, Nisayon lohochiach tahamokor shel ben kotin alibo de Rebbe Elozer ben Shimon. The Gemara will try to show that the source that's referred to as the ben kotin source is according to Rebbe Elozer ben Shimon, mehod demuva bereisha shelo, from the fact that in the reisha of the ben kotin source there's a statement there, the mikumo shel poroi shel kohen gadol biyom kippur, the boy tzafon, that the positioning of the kohen gadol's cow offering on Yom Kippur, the kohen gadol's cow offering requires it to be shechted in the tzafon, and it is positioned according to the ratio of the ben kotin source. It's positioned bein ulam v'lemizbeach, the area between the ulam and the mizbeach in the azora. Shita zu to bein ulam mizbeach nechshav tzafon. The opinion that holds that area between the ulam and the mizbeach is categorized as tzafon, as considered a legal tzafon. Hainu shitas Rebbe Elozer Rebbe Shimon. That is his shita. Therefore, if we can show that the positioning of the Kohen Gadol's cow offering on Yom Kippur is Bein Ulam Mizbeach, and point out that is the ratio of the Ben Kotin source, I will then be able to establish that the Ben Kotin source is, in fact, according to Rebbe Elozer Rebbe Shimon. And in the Ben Kotin source, we will see that it says that the Mei Kior, if it's not lowered into the ground, it is subject to being nifsal, being ruined by lino. And that would answer the original question. Now, let us go to the Gemara. Toshma. This is an attempt to bring an answer to the question that Rav Dimi originally asked. And what was the question that Rav Dimi featured? Of course, it was Ilfo's question. And we have that emphasized with a dashed underline, five lines from the top. Mei kior ma'u shivsalu, is the mei kior ruined by lino? So let's see. Toshma, and we have to emphasize that is the according to Rebbe Elozer ben Shimon, is the mei kior ruined by lino? Toshma, we have a source, so it's therefore featured in a frame, as are all Tanaic sources in our marking system. And that's in order to set them apart, the Tanaic sources, from the rest of the Gemara literature. So we have a source that says Ben Kotin, it's the name of a person who who lived during the time of the Beis HaMikdash. Asa Shneim Asar Dod Kior. He made 12 faucets for the Kior. Afhu Asa Muchni Lekior. He also made a pulley system for the Kior. Shelo Yu Maimov Nifsalim Belino. This pulley system enabled the kior to be lowered into the ground so as to prevent the water from becoming ruined by lino. Lino is the transition of time from nighttime to day, and at times in different areas of halacha from daytime into the night. So a pulley system was set up by Ben Kotin in order to prevent the Mei Kior from getting ruined by lino. And that was accomplished by being lowered into the ground. If it was not lowered into the ground, then lino would have ruined the Mei Kior. My lav, Rebbe Elozer Rebbe Shimon hi. Is it not so that this source is according to Rebbe Elozer Rebbe Shimon? We have a little arrow to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara, and this draws your attention to this. This expects one to parallel it to a similar arrow, and if you scan up to the upper part of the page, you'll see it's pointing to Rebbe Elozer Rebbe Shimon. That's why we've dashed underlined his name here also, to draw your attention to the fact, or to the attempt to establish that here we have an answer to the original question, which was raised according to Rabbi Elazar Rav Shimon. So we would be saying at this point that if the kiyor was not lowered into the ground, Lino would have ruined it according to Rabbi Elazar Rav Shimon. We might elaborate and say that even though Rabbi Elazar Rav Shimon holds that Lino does not ruin the Kiddush Yadayim Rabbayim, that's because the water is dried up. It's not there anymore. There's nothing for the Lino to attach to. However, the water in the kiyor, since it is around, the Lino can affect it, has what to be chal on. The Gemara now goes on and says, Loi. Here you see the inverted triangle. This is an attempt to reject the answer. Rebbe, the source that features Ben Cotton and his pulley system, that is according to Rebbe, who is stringent with regard to Lina. We have a little note here. We have above this, we've written in Demachmir Be'inyan Lina. This is according to Rebbe, who's strict with regard to Lina. Dechiyazu Nishar Ad Hasof. And this rejection will remain till the end. This, till the end of this discussion. If you take full advantage of the Gemara markings, you can follow the movement of the triangles or the positioning of the triangles. You'll see it shortly flip up, with point up, and that's that particular up triangle lasts for quite a few lines, and that's indicated also by a length marker to the immediate right hand side of the Gemara text. After that, you'll notice the triangle repositions itself, point facing down, and it flips up again. And then the last triangle that you see in this flow of Gemara will be it with the tip facing down. That will indicate that this dechia that we're saying right now, that the source of Ben Cotton is Rebbe, that remains till the end of the sugya. As we continue in the Gemara, we encounter a new brackets. And we should take note, first of all, of the length of these brackets. That you can see by using the length indicator to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. You see a dashed dotted line. We try in our marking system to use a special length marker for bracketed sections. And in this case, it's a dashed dotted line. So the purpose of these brackets is indicated by our little note on the inside margin. Let's read the note. Matras sograyim elu, the goal, the point, the purpose of these brackets, lahar ois dinishar hadechiyo ad sof hasugya, to show that this rejection, namely with the inverted triangle just before the brackets, when it said lo rebi he, and hence it doesn't help us in our quest for clarification and Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon, that rejection stays till the end of the sugya. So with that in mind, let's continue in the Gemara. The Gemara asks, how can you tell me it's Rebbe? V'ho amida reisha Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon, seifa nami Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon. Is it not so that since the reisha, the first part of the Ben Cotton source, which we haven't seen yet, that is clearly, the Gemara thinks at least, it's clearly according to Rebbe Elazar Shimon. So the Seifa, which discusses the pulley system, and is also according to Rebbe Elazar Shimon. Let's read that again. V'homi de reisha Rebbe Elazar Shimon, Seifa nami Rebbe Elazar Shimon. We now have an internal angular brackets. What's the purpose of these? So we have a note that one can see also on the inside margin. So you'll notice there's a double O, which helps you to find the note for these brackets. It says, Sograim Elu, these angular brackets, l'shem dilug. It's for initial skipping purposes. L'hokel ala kriya, to make the reading easier. So if we'll do that when we look into the Gemara shortly. However, b'secha muva habasis l'taina sh'aresha aliva d'Rebbe Shimon. The area within these angular brackets will bring the basis for claiming that the Reisha is according to Rebbe Zerva Shimon. Achrei ha-sugrayim, ha-gemora tidche ha-ochocha. After the bracketed section, the Gemara will reject this attempted proof. So as we said, we have these internal brackets, and if we read the Gemara again from the beginning of the line where the triangle appears, Fahomi de Reisha Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon, Seifonami Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon. Now we skip this bracketed section, and this is in, you can find the end of the brackets by looking to the immediate left hand side of the Gemara text. You see a vertical dotted line. So you see after that there's a flipped over triangle, and the Gemara repels the claim that the Seifa, since the Reisha is Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon, the Seifa is also. V'tisbara, we're skipping momentarily, you see, V'tisbara, Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon, he v'lo Rebbe. Are you so sure that the Reisha, which is discussed and brought in within the bracketed section, are you so sure that it's Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon and not Rebbe? Hashto Rebbe ad Rebbe Yossi Rebbe Yudah Moisif ad Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon lo Moisif. This line will become much clearer when we get to it in the Gemara, when we learn the bracketed section, but suffice it to say the point the Gemara is making right now is that to establish Ben Kotten as being according to Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon by proving that the Reisha is Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon, that will not be effective, because we may end up saying that the Reisha is according to Rebbe, and if the Reisha is according to Rebbe, then the Ben Kotten source that featured the pulley system and hence the Lina, the ill effects of the Lina on the make here, will also be according to Rebbe, and we will not be able to answer the original question, which is a question focused on Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon. Let's go over the Gemara again. We're going to read the line with the triangle at the beginning of the brackets. At the beginning of the line, it says, V'homi de Reisha, Rebbe Elazar Shimon, Seifonami, Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon, Diktoni Reisha. We continue now in the angular brackets. The Reisha says, the Reisha means the first part of the Ben Kotten source says, this is a source dealing with Yom Kippur, and the Kohen Gadol is approaching his cow offering, Bo lo Eitzel Poroi. He approaches the cow offering, the cow sacrifice, and this cow sacrifice is Kodesh Kodoshim. It needs to be done in the Tzafon area of the Beis HaMikdash. Uporoi hoya oimed bein hulam lamizbeach. And the par was standing in the area between the ulam, the entrance to the Heichal, the ulam, and the mizbeach that's sitting in the courtyard. Roishoi ladorom uponov lamarov. The animal's head was facing the south with its head twisted, we'll say, whereby the animal is positioned north-south, where its head is facing south, but its face is twisted toward the west. V'akoyin oimed b'mizroch Uponov Lamarov, and the Kohen is standing east of the cow, facing the west. Man Shamis Le de Omar Bein Ulam Lizbeach equals Sofon. Who is it that holds that the area between Ulam Mizbeach, between the Ulam and the Mizbeach is classified as a legal Sofon? Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon. This is according to Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon. When we mention the idea of a legal north, what we mean by that is that it's an area that's suitable for the processing of Kodesh Kodoshim, for the slaughtering and Kabbalah Saddam of the Kodesh HaKodoshim. Of Kodesh Kodoshim meaning high-level sanctity attached to certain sacrifices. And the par of the Kohen Gadol requires processing in the Tzafon. What constitutes Tzafon? So now we have a source that features three shitos concerning the issue of the definition of tzafon, and we'll see Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon cited, and we've squiggled under the source the expression av bein ulam mizbeach, so as to draw your attention to
this particular approach, and you can see that it's brought in by Rav Elazar Rav Shimon in the source. Let's continue in the Gemara. Desanya, Ezehu Tzafon. What constitutes a legal Tzafon? The area that's needed for the processing of Kodshei Kodshim. And in our case, we're talking about the power of the Kohen Gadol. The first Shita is Mikir Mizbeach. Mikir Mizbeach Tzfoni, V'ad Koisel Azora Tzfoni, U'keneged Kol HaMizbeach Kulo Tzofon, Divrei Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda. We've supplied a little diagram that you can see on the little bit lower in the outside margin. You have an aerial view of the Beis HaMikdash, and you can see we've labeled with an Aleph the opinion of Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, and we've indicated underneath the little diagram that you can see on the outside margin a little aleph underneath the diagram. Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda Mikir Mizbeach Tzfoni Ad L'Kos Lazor Tzfoni. You can see the aerial view. We have the Mizbeach, and there's a dashed line that is two dashed lines drawn in opposite the Mizbeach toward the northern wall of the Azora. That area contained within the two dashed lines, according to Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, that is Tzafon. That's the legal Tzafon. Anything outside of that area is not acceptable for the processing of Kodshei Kodshim. His sheet is based on a pasuk that says, Al Yerech HaMizbeach Tzafona. On the Yerech HaMizbeach means on the feet of the Mizbeach. That part of the Mizbeach, the northern wall, or the northern side of the Mizbeach, is called the feet of the Mizbeach because the southern side of the Mizbeach, where there is a ramp position, whereby the Kohen ascends the ramp and walks onto the Mizbeach, since he's walking toward the Mizbeach from south, when he's on the southern side, walking up, he's walking toward the face. You're walking to greet it, so to speak. So the face is the southern side of the Mizbeach. The northern side is called the feet. Anyway, that's not the main shita for our purposes right now in the sugya. The next shita, and we continue in the Tanaic source, is Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon Moisif Af Bein Ha'ulam Mizbeach. Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon adds to Tzafon the area between the Ulam and the Mizbeach as well. That's also considered Tzafon and suitable for Shechting Poro Shel Kohen Gadol. Rebbe Moisif Af Mokum Drisas Ragli HaKohanim Umokum Drisas Ragli Yisrael. Rebbe says not only is that considered Tzafon, but even the area where Drisas Reglils, where they are allowed to walk. There are 11 Amas that are assigned from the entrance of into the Azora. The first 11 Amas are designed for the Yisraelim to walk, and the second 11 Amas, as you continue walking westward, are designed for the Kohanim to walk around in. So Rebbe says that all of that area as well, the northern half of the Azora, of those 22 Amas, is also considered Tzafon. Avol, min ha-chalifos v'lifnim, from the chalifos, that's part of the ulam, something called beis ha-chalifos. The word chalif literally means, it's an Arabic word meaning knife. The Kohanim used to store their knives in a wall of the ulam structure. So from that area, from the beis ha-chalifos, westward, is Hakol Moedim Shepasel. Everyone would agree that that's not considered an acceptable area. It's not labeled as Tzafon, and hence it's not an acceptable area for the processing of Kodshei Kodshim. It can be pointed out, by the way, that Kodshim Kalim can be processed over there, but not Kodshei Kodshim. What have we accomplished from all of this? The Gemara had said that since the Reisha was Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon, so the Seifa was also Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon. The Seifa was important for our sugi because in the Seifa of the Ben Kotin source, we saw the Kior pulley system, which indicates that the May Kior is subject to Psulina. Now, how is it assumed that the Seifa is according to Rav Elazar Rav Shimon? Because the Reisha seems to be clearly according to Rav Elazar Rav Shimon. And the Reisha dealt with the Parosh HaKohen Gadol being positioned Bein Ulam HaMizbeach. Who is it that says that Bein Ulam HaMizbeach is Tzafon? The answer to that is, that's Rav Elazar Rav Shimon. So I would have evidence, or I have a source that Rav Elazar Rav Shimon is the author of the Kior pulley system as well. The point, as the Gemara goes on now, Vitisbara, notice the triangle is flipped over. This will be a rejection of everything we just said. Vitisbara, Rav Elazar Shimon, he velo Rebbe. The source that said, the Reisha of the Ben Kotan source that said that the Kohen Gadol approached his par, which was Bein Ulam Mizbeach, are you so sure that it's Rav Elazar Shimon and not Rebbe? It could very well be Rebbe too. Hashta Rebbe ad Rav Yossi Rav Yehuda Mosif. We find that Rebbe adds, as far as Sofon is concerned, lighter level of Kedusha. In other words, he was willing to extend Tzafon, legal Tzafon, eastward. Eastward is a movement away from the Heichal. The Heichal is considered a holy area. So Rebbe is willing to include what's called Kedusha Kala. He's willing to include an area of a lower level of Kedusha. Ad Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon Lo Mosif, would he not be in fact adding to Rav Elazar Rav Shimon? What did Rav Elazar Rav Shimon say? He said that the area of Bein Ulam Mizbeach is Tzafon. Rebbe, when he came to the four, he added onto Bein Ulam Mizbeach. He was willing to add even a lower level of Kedusha. So being that Rebbe is willing to add a lower level of Kedusha, it's fairly clear that Rebbe would certainly agree that Bein Ulam Lizbeach is Tzafon. So when you see a source that says Bein Ulam Lizbeach as being an area suitable for Kodshei Kodshim, that could very well be Rebbe as well. So the Gemara responds, Anan Hochi Kvar Minan. In trying to ensure that the Reisha is according to Rav Elazar Rav Shimon and not Rebbe, this is what we meant to say. E sakadaitach Rebbe he. If that Reisha is according to Rebbe, lukma b'mokim Jesus ragli kohanim b'mokim Jesus ragli Israel. Could the Kohen Gadol have not positioned his animal further east in the area of where the kohanim and Yisraelim walk around? The fact that that was not chosen as a site that shows us that it's not according to Rebbe, because if it were according to Rebbe, Rebbe could have positioned the animal further east in a lower Kedusha area and still have been acceptable. So the Gemara says back to that, Ela Mai, Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon, he is the source. You're trying to tell me that it is according to Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon, so as to be able to answer our original question. Well then, lukmo mikir mizbeach tzfoni ad koysel azor tzfoni. Could he not have set up the animal opposite the northern wall of the mizbeach, which would have been a bigger chiddush than where he has it positioned? Ela ma'is loch lemeimar. According to you, that you want to say it's Rav Elazar Rav Shimon, why didn't he put it over there, which would have been the area called Tzafon according to all the deis? Everyone would have agreed with that area. So why did he not position it over there? Mishum chusha de Kohen Gadol, because of the concern of the weakened state of the Kohen Gadol. After all, the Kohen Gadol was doing, not only was he not eating, but he was doing all of the Avodas Yom Kippurim. So he wanted to have him walk as little as possible. Hence, if he would shecht the animal close to the Ulam, between Bein Ulam Mizbeach, he would have to walk less after doing Kabbalah Sadam and the necessary Zrika Sadam that take place in the Heichal. He would have less area to walk around, which is, we would be shortening his his root. Well, because of that consideration, according to you, Reb Elozer Reb Shimon is positioning it bein ulam lemizbeach. Hochanami, so to according to my approach, that I want to set it up according to Rebbe, and if you'll ask why is it not, if it's according to Rebbe, why is it not b'mokom Jesus Ragli Kohen Ragli Israel? Well, the same svara appears, the same logic. Hochanami mishum chulsha de Kohen Gadol. It could be according to Rebbe, and the reason Rebbe positions it specifically bein ulam mizbeach is because of the concern of chulsha de Kohen Gadol. So as we pointed out earlier, this last point of the Gemara, and the sugya itself concludes over here, the last point was saying that the resha of the Ben Kotan source might very well be according to Rebbe. And if the resha is according to Rebbe, so the Seifa, which spoke about the pulley system, is also according to Rebbe. And that pulley system designed by Ben Kotan was to prevent Lino from ruining the Meikir. But so far that whole source is according to Rebbe. Our question was according to Rebbe Elozer Rebbe Shimon. Hence, we do not have a resolution to that original question. As we go on in the Gemara, we have a new topic heading. You'll notice in the outside margin. Alibo demande Omar Rebbe Yochanan Kishagov Raglov Lechumas Adeshen Lemochar Ein Tzorach Lekadesh. The Gemara's question will be, according to whom, Alibo Deman, our no say topic headed, began by with the note, Alibo Deman, according to whom did Rabbi Yochanan say his teaching that one who was Mekadesh Yodav Ragla for Trumas Adeshen, for the removal of a bit of ash from the Mizbeach, there is a handful of ash that's removed from the top of the Mizbeach and put off to the side of the Kevesh, that's known as Trumas Hadeshen. That takes place before Amud HaShachar. It takes place during what we can call legal nighttime. So if a Kohen was Mekadesh Yodav Varaglov for Trumas Hadeshen, then if he wants to continue working into the daytime hours, he, according to Rabbi Yochanan, does not have to do Kiddush Yadayim Raglaim again. The question is, according to whom did Rabbi Yochanan say this halacha? Omar Rabbi Yochanan, turning to the Gemara, Kidesh Yodav Raglov Lechumas Adeshen. A Kohen washed his hands and feet in anticipation of doing the Trumas Adeshen, which is done before Alos HaShachar. Lemochar Eino Tzorach Lekadesh Shikvar Kidesh Mitchila Savoda. This is part of Rabbi Yochanan's statement, that the next day he doesn't have to do Kiddush again because he did Kiddush already Mitchila Savoda, from the beginning of the service. Leman. According to whom did Rabbi Yochanan say this? E le Rebbe, if this is taught according to Rebbe, it would be inaccurate. Ho Omar posel Lino. Rebbe said that Lino will posel the Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim, according to Rebbe, after Alos HaShachar, any Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim that was done before becomes ruined or becomes void, and you have to do it again. So that the Din of Rabbi Yochanan, which deals with a Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim for Trumas Adeshen, which is before Alos HaShachar, would not be sufficient to rely upon for the next day's service. E le Rebbe Elozer Rebbe Shimon, Ha'omar ein tzorach lekadesh afilu mikan v'ad asora yomim. According to Rebbe Elozer Rebbe Shimon, a Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim that was done even 10 days ago would have been sufficient, even provided, of course, he kept working day after day in the Beis HaMikdash. And as far as Rabbi Yochanan's teaching, he says that the reason that there's no need for daytime Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim is because he did it mitchilas avoda. Tchilas avoda means the beginning of the daytime activity. The Trumas Hadeshen represents the beginning of any given day's service in the Beis HaMikdash. The Trumas Hadeshen was the first activity done. So that's the reason Rabbi Yochanan gave, because he did Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim at the beginning of a day's service activity, even though Trumas Hadeshen takes place before Amud HaShachar. Nevertheless, it's considered the beginning of that day's service in the Beis HaMikdash. Well, according to Rabbi Elazar Rav Shimon, you don't have to come on to that as being the reason for not doing Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim again. It would have been sufficient that you did Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim even several days before this, without any emphasis on Shekvar Kiddush Metchilas Avoda. So at this point, Rabbi Yochanan's teaching doesn't seem to be rooted in either Rebbe or Rabbi Elazar Rav Shimon. In order to answer this problem, based on whom is Rabbi Yochanan's teaching, we find Abaye and Rava addressing the issue. And with our markings, we've double underlined with little dots in it Abaye's name and Rava's name. Omar Abaye, Le'olam L'Rebbe. Rabbi Yochanan's teaching is in fact according to Rebbe. The question then is, if it's according to Rebbe, why does he not have to do Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim again? Velino equals the Rabbanan he. Lino, the idea that the transition from night to day ruins, that's a rabbinic idea. Umodi and the Rabbanan admit, or they concede, to Mikrois HaGever Viad Safro Lo Postalina. Kros HaGever is the time period from which the Trumas Hadeshen is done. That's a time period. Kros HaGever is a time slightly before Alos HaShachar. Kros HaGever sometimes is translated as meaning from the time the rooster crows. But it's a time before Alos HaShachar. Nevertheless, since it's a rather short amount of time before Alos HaShachar, the feeling is that the Rabbanan hold that if you do Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim at that point from Kros HaGever until the morning, Lina won't have a negative effect. Rava Omar le'olam Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon he. Rabbi Yochanan's teaching is based on Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon. And then one would infer, according to Rava, that you would say Rebbe would have required another Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim anyway. But the teaching of Rabbi Yochanan is according to Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon. Then you'll ask, well, if that be the case, why does Rabbi Yochanan answer, why does he explain Shekvar Kiddush Metchilas Avoda? V'ro Rabbi Yochanan Dvorov Metchilas Avoda, and Rabbi Yochanan sees or accepts the position of Rabbi Elazar Shimon that Lina is not posel, provided you did the Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim Metchilas Avoda, v'lo Besof Avoda. However, he doesn't agree with Rabbi Elazar Shimon with regard to a Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim that was done for activities that are constitute Sof Avoda, namely during the nighttime he may have offered up the limbs of the previous day's sacrifice. So if he did Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim for that, that would not be sufficient for the next day's service in the Beis HaMikdash. Even though Rabbi Elazar Rav Shimon himself would have said that too would have been sufficient because Lina lo poselas. Nevertheless, Rabbi Yochanan chose an aspect of Rabbi Elazar Rav Shimon, but didn't accept his entire shita. It may be worth pointing out that it will be very important to somehow remember these approaches, Abaye's approach to Rabbi Yochanan and Rava's approach to Rabbi Yochanan, because this will be cited in upcoming Dapim of Gemara. The Gemara asks, we start a question here, that we have a long question indicator to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. You see a kuf that's encircled with a vertical dashed line which continues down Amud Beis. The Gemara will be raising a question from a source, and the Gemara will say at the top of Amud Beis, so far that the things would work out according to Abaye, but according to Rava, we will have a problem. So this kasha will be a kasha asked, a question asked on Rava's shita. Meisve. Ra'uhu echov hakehanim shiyorad v'hein ratzu bo. This is talking about that very the time of the Chumas Edeshen. The other Kehanim in the Beis HaMikdash saw the Kohen who did the Chumas Edeshen get off the Mizbeach. The Hain Ratzubo, the other Kohanim came and ran. They ran in. Miharu v'kitshu yadayim v'raglayim min ha-kior. And they hastened to do Kiddush Yadayim v'raglayim. Now, there is an assumption that's made at this point in the Gemara and asking the question, and this is featured in Rashi. Rashi says, second line from the bottom, in the middle we have emphasized this with a squiggle underline, the kosaka daitoch. The thought right now in raising this question is, b'kayam she'avdu kol alaylo koi, u'mikudoshe yadayim raglayim hoyu, that the kohanim that were running in the source after the Trumas edition was done, we're talking about kohanim that were working all night, and they had already had Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim, and the source indicates u'tzrichim lachsu l'kadesh achshav, that they have to do a new Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim. The source doesn't have a name in it. Continuing in the Gemara, Bishlama le'abaye, demoikim lo kirebi. Things will work out according to Abaye that set up Rabbi Yochanan and his teaching according to Rebbe. Umodi Rebbe demikros agever atzafra lo postlolina. And Rebbe will concede that from Kros Hagever until, from that Kros Hagever, which is a time period before Alos HaShachar, until the morning, lo postlolina, lina does not have a negative effect. Ha money, Rebbe he. So then this source will be according to Rebbe. What does this source tell us about? It tells us that you have Kohanim that were, albeit they were working all night, they do a new Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim at that early point in the morning. It's before Alos HaShachar. And they don't have to do a further Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim after Alos HaShachar. Therefore, this source would conform, as Abaye understood things, would conform to Rebbe. We'd have an authorship, a name to attach to the source. Elo LaRava, Demoikim Lo Kerebelozer Reb Shimon. But according to Rava, that set up Rabbi Yochanan's teaching, according to Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, Aval LeRebbe, Mikros HaGever Atzafra Poslo Lina, but according to Rebbe, any Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim done from the Kros HaGever time until the morning will become ruined by Lina, by the transition of time after Alos into the day. Ha money. This source that featured the Kohanim running to do Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim after the Trumas Edeshen is according to whom? E. Rebbe Poslo Lina. If it were according to Rebbe, so the source would pose a difficulty, because the source says that they ran to do these Kohanim that had been working all night, ran to do Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim from the Kiyor, but why would they do Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim at that point? That point that's described in the source is before Alos HaShachar. Their Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim will become ruined by daybreak. E. Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon, and if the source were taught according to him, Ha Omar, Rebbe Elazar Bishuna himself said, "Afilu mikan v'ara sora yomim eino tzorach l'kadesh." And if, as we assumed, we're dealing with kohanim that were working all night, they already had done Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim. They don't need to do a new one, according to Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon. So, according to Rava, we have a source that does not have authorship. Li'olam k'Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon. This source is according to Rav Zev Shimon. And you'll ask, well, if they were already Mekudoshe Yadayim Raglayim from the nighttime activity, why do they have to do it again? V'ocha b'mayaskinon, in this source, is b'kehani chadati. These are kehanim that are new. Chadati means new, meaning they didn't work all night. And therefore they had not been ruchutze yodayim raglayim. So they will do it now, at this point in time. We have a new geometric form, a diamond, and this is indicated on the side. We have a diamond and a double underline, which are both series markers. She'elois be'inyan kiddush yodayim raglayim. These will be questions regarding the issue of regarding matters concerning kiddush yodayim raglayim. That's the structure. So if you see a question here, it's Ibai Laho. The first question is Yitzia Mashitov kiddush yodayim raglayim. You notice the double underline that will be featuring the topics. The next question, further down the page, you see Ibai Laho, Tumama Shatoyel Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim. The questions will continue on to Chof Aleph Amet Aleph. If you have that available, you can see there as well, Mahu Lekadesh Yadav Raglav Bakior. In our note on the side, the Nose, the topic heading, we have recorded these topics as well. Yitzio Ma'ashito, this is an issue of someone who had done Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim and then he leaves the Azorah. What effect does that have on his Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim? That's Ma'ashito B'Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim. We'll discuss Hotzi Yodo or Yotza Kol Gufo, where the first issue will be where he simply extends his hands outside the Azorah. But he himself remains standing in the Azorah. What effect does that have on the Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim? Then the second issue will be where he walked out entirely out of the Azorah. Will that necessitate a new Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim? So turning to the Gemara, Ibai Laho, Yitzio Ma'al Shito B'Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim. Departure from the Azorah, does that have an effect, a negative effect on the Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim? Im tim silomar lino lo pasla. If you take the opinion, the side that says that lino does not ruin kiddush yadayim raglayim, we certainly saw Rav Elazar Rav Shimon holding like that. That might be true. De lo porish, he didn't leave the azorah. Aval yitzia the porish, but in the case of yitzia where he is leaving the azorah, asuche masach daite, he no longer is concentrating on his Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim. He may be thinking about other things, and that Hesech Hadas, will this lack of concentration, lack of constant thought on it, will cause a need for a new Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim. Oy Dilma, Kevin Debiyodo Lachzor Lo Mosach, or since it's within his power to come back any time, come back into the Azorah, so he doesn't forget about his Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim, and he doesn't have a Hesech Hadas. And if you can establish that he doesn't have a Hesech Hadas, so he has no need to do a new Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim. Well, we have a new geometric form as far as this Omid is concerned, a triangle, and this is explained on the side under the Mivneh heading, the structural note. A triangle is featured, Ma'akav, an attempt to keep track. With the point facing up, hoichochos de mo'ila. These will be proofs that Yitzia has an effect, has a negative effect, has an influence on his Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim. With the triangle flipping around, the ein mo'ila. It will be taking the side that it does not have an effect. So we continue in the Gemara. Toshma, kidesh yodav raglov, v'nit me'u. A person, a kohen, washed his hands and feet, v'nitme'u, and they became tomei through a tumah that's not a tumah d'oraisa, a rabbinic tumah. Rabbinic tumah, in the case of the Beis HaMikdash, would include meat that was offered improperly with improper thought, like pigel or noiso, or meat that's left over after its time period. The Rabbonin imposed on these things, on these kinds of meats, a tumah of a rabbinic nature. So what happens if someone had been mekadesh yodav raglav and they became tomei, tumah de rabbonon, matbilon, the ein sorach lekadesh, he's toivel them in a mikveh, and he doesn't have to do kiddush to them.
Yotsu Hare Hein Bekudishasan, if his hands went out of the Azara. So he does not have to do a Kiddush again. So from this source, we would attempt to show that they remain sanctified. We have a minor correction to make as far as our introduction to the sugya. The triangle with the point facing up will show that yitzia is eino mo'ila, does not have an effect. With the point facing down will show you mo'ila, that it does have an effect, has a negative effect. So from this source we have a triangle pointing up, and it indicates here yotsu harehein bekedushasan, if it leaves the azara, they remain in their kedusha, namely there's no need for a new kiddush yadayim raglayim. This will show that the yitzia is eino mo'ila. The Gemara rejects this and says yotsu yadav lo kami bayalon. Our question never concerned the simple exiting of his hands, whereby he stayed in the Azorah and just put his hands outside the Azorah. Ki kami bayalon yotze kol gufo mai. Our question concerns a situation where he walked out entirely from the Azorah. Toshma. So we'll try to answer this question. We have a length indicator to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara. You'll notice a toshma with a triangle around it and a vertical dashed line, indicating that all of these lines are part of this particular attempt to answer. At the end of this section, of these several lines, you'll notice a dashed underline expression which says, HaKidesh Bifnim V'yotza Avodasuk Sheira. If the Kohen had sanctified himself, had done Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim in the Azara, and then walked out, it would not ruin the subsequent Avoda. So that would show, once again, that that Yitzia is Eino Mo'ila, has no effect. Toshma. So let's now see the Gemara inside. Shaloi Rochutz Yadayim Raglayim Mekadesh Beklishoris Bifnim. If someone had not done Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim, he is able to do it from water that's in a klisharis, in a service vessel, in the Azora. Kiddush Beklishoris Bachutz. If he did Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim through a service vessel outside the Azora, oi Bekli Choyol Bifnim, or through a mundane vessel in the Azora, oi Shetoval B'mei Ma'ora V'Ovad, or if he went to a Mei Ma'ora is a reference to a mikveh. It's a water in a cave, literally, but it's water that's kosher for tevila, V'Ovad, and he entered the Beis HaMikdash. Avodoso, psula. His avoda would not be acceptable. So we want to infer from this the following. Taimo, the reason that there is psul, is dekidesh beklishores bachutz. Notice that was the first of the examples that we have noted with letters, the Aleph case. He had done kiddush yadayim raglayim outside the Azora. That is puzzle. That's not a sufficiently good kiddush yadayim raglayim. We can infer from that though, ha kiddush bifnim v'yotza avodasuk shira. Had he done kiddush yadayim raglayim in the azara and then walked out and then come back to do avoda, that would be okay, showing us that kiddush that yitzia does not have any effect on the kiddush yadayim raglayim. Gemara rejects this. Dilma. Kiddush, maybe the understanding of this issue is as follows. Kiddush beklishores bachutz hechidomi. The case that was featured in the source that we tried to draw an inference from, namely where he was mekadesh through a surface vessel, through a klishores outside, hechidomi, what is that? To go into apik yodov labar, the kiddush, where he stuck his hands
outside and did the Kiddush with his hands outside while he was standing inside. Avol yotza kol gufo. However, a case where he did the Kiddush inside and then walked out, tiboyoloch, that will remain a question. That case I cannot figure from what it teaches here. Omar Le Rav Zvid the Rav Popo. Toshma. Here you'll notice the triangle is flipped over. And we're going to try to show that Yitzia is Mo'ila. Yotza chutz l'mechitzas choymas v'azora. A kohen left the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash. Im lishois to'un tvila. If he delayed there, he needs tvila. And the assumption right now is because since it was lishos, it was for a lengthy stay, a lengthy delay outside the azora, he no longer had concentration on his situation, and that creates hesech hadas. Im lefi shav, if he walked out for a moment, ton kiddush yodayim raglayim. So we would see from here that he needs. Again, he needs to do Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim by the mere fact that he walked out of the Azara, showing us that Yitzia Mo'ila, Yitzia has an effect. Amalei, the Gemara responds to that. Ocho b'mayaskinan, kigon shiotzo lahoseich raglov ulahatil mayim. He walked out in order to relieve himself of bodily waste. So the case of Lishos is lahoseich raglov, is to do solid waste. And lahatil mayim is to urinate. That's the case of lefi shah. And that's the reason he has to do either the tvila or the kiddush yadayim raglayim. But simple walking out, that would not necessarily require another kiddush yadayim raglayim. The Gemara asks, ha, behedya katoni la, I don't need this source to teach me about a person going, leaving to relieve himself. We have another source that says that explicitly. Kol ha-mesach raglov to'un tvila. Anyone who does solid waste has to immerse himself in a mikvah. V'chol ha-matil mayim to'un kiddush yadayim raglayim. So once I have an explicit source, what do I need the previous source to teach me that? So the Gemara says, no, there's no problem. There's no issue of redundancy. Toni v'hoder meforesh. The style here is where it first introduces the ideas in a general form and then explains it. So the source that mentioned im lishois ton tefila is subsequently explained by the next source that says kol ha-mesach raglov. That explains what the im lishois was. Notice the triangle that we most recently saw has the point facing up. So at this point, we could say that the only reason for the source teaching us that he needed to do Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim is because he went to do went to Matil Mei Raglayim. But for a simple departure, just walking out, we would say that it's not Mo'il. It doesn't have an effect. Hence, the triangle is facing up. Toshma. Here we have the triangle facing up, which will be attempting to show that the Yitzia is not Mo'il, will have no effect. Toshma. Pora. We're talking here about the processing of a Pora Duma. Rabbi Chiya Bar Yosef Omar Mekadesh Bekli Shores Bifnim V'yotze. That the Kohen who is going to process the Pora Duma does Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim in the Azara, and then he leaves the Azara. The processing of the Paradum was done on Har HaZesim, which was outside the Beis HaMikdash, to the east of the Beis HaMikdash. But anyway, what do we see from here? We see that he does Kiddush inside the Azara, and then leaves, indicating that the Yitzia does not passel, it doesn't have an effect. And the last triangle we saw with point facing up shows that Eino Mo'ilo, it doesn't have an effect. The next line and a half are in brackets because this introduces another shita, but our main proof is from the first shita, from the Aleph, from Reb Chiya bar Yosef. We'll read the bracketed section. Reb Yochanan Amar Filu Bachutz, according to Reb Yochanan, the kiddush of the kohen that's going to process the parah adumah can be done even outside the azara, Filu B'Klichol, even with a non-sanctified vessel, Filu B'Mekedush Shalcheres, even from water kept in a clay vessel. Omar of Papa. Rav Papa here, notice how the triangle inverted. He says, Shaini Pora, you can't bring proof from the case of Pora that Kiddush is not affected by Yetziah. Hayov Chomaser Bachutz, Lo Posla Ba Yetziah, since the entire Pora Duma, all of the procedures associated with it, are done outside the Beis HaMikdash, therefore Yetziah will not have an effect in the case of Pora Aduma. However, we can infer, but in cases of internal Beis HaMikdash sacrifices, Yetziah would have an effect. Well, the Gemara asks, Ihochi Lomali de Mekadesh, if Pora Aduma is done outside the Beis HaMikdash, then why is there any necessity of doing Kiddush to begin with? So the Gemara says, Ke'ein Avoda Panim. It's similar. We try to do things with regard to the Parah Adumah that parallel internal activities. But in fact, the Parah Adumah is an external and non-Beis HaMikdash procedure, leaving us again room to infer that if it were a Beis HaMikdash activity, so Yetziah would have an effect. Ibayalaho, a new question. Tuma ma'u shetoy l'kiddush yodayav raglayim. What effects does Tuma have on a kohen that did kiddush yodayav raglayim? We're making an assumption right now in raising this question that we're talking about where his hands became tuma and not his entire body. And we made reference above to those kinds of tumas, it's a tuma de rabbanon that affects the adayim, for example, the pigol meat or nosar meat. The Gemara continues, im timtsalomer yitziah lo pasla, if you take the approach that yitziah does not have an effect, the gavra chazi, because the person himself remains kosher, remains acceptable for doing avoda. Aval hocha, in the case of nitma, the gavra lo chazi, where the person himself, when he is in a state of tuma, he's not fit, asuche mosachtaite, he loses his concentration on his kiddush yadayim v'raglayim. Oy dilma, kevan de hodar chazi, dok le v'lo mosachtaite, or it could be that since he becomes fit again, after he is mitire himself from his tuma, he's not mesiach das, and therefore he would not need to do a new kiddush yadayim raglayim. We have a new geometric form, the house form, and you'll see these are attempts to answer the question. We have a few of these, a couple of these, till the end of this omid. Toshma, kidesh yodav raglov, v'nit me'u, if the kohen had done kiddush yadayim raglayim and his hands became tamei, matbilon, it's sufficient that he immerses them in a mikveh, v'ein tzorach l'kadesh, he doesn't have to do kiddush yadayim raglayim again. Notice with our dashed underline, we've emphasized nit me'u and ein tzorach l'kadesh, so we would have an answer to our question. The Gemara rejects this and says, Nitmu yodav lo mibayolon. Our question never really concerned a case where he had experienced only tumas yodayim. Ki ko mibayolon, our original question really is, Nitma ko gufo, where he became completely tame, not just a hand-related tuma. The Gemara asks, "Kol gufo, tepuk leik even the boy lemevad herev shemesh asuche masach daite." If you're talking about a regular complete tuma, so anyone like that requires to wait till the setting of the sun. So between the time he became Tomei, immersed himself in a mikveh, and waited for the setting of the sun, he certainly would have experienced Hesech Hadas, and certainly would require another Kiddush. So why are you asking the question? The Gemara answers, Kegoin the Itmi Samoch Lishkias Achama. Let's focus on a case where he became Tomei right before sundown. In that case, there isn't any. We don't have to say that he was definitely Mesiach Das. Toshma Pora. Let's try to bring proof from the case from the halachas regarding Pora. We have a length indicator that accompanies this section, and you can see that to the immediate right hand side of the Gemara text, a Toshma, a little house form with a vertical dashed line that continues down the upper lines of Chof Aleph Amud Aleph. So let's see Toshma. Let's try to bring proof from the case of Pora. Rabbi Chia, Rabbi Yosef Omar Mekadesh Bekli Shoris Bifnim Viyotze. Rabbi Yochanan Omar. All of this we've seen before. Afilu Bachutz, Afilu Bekli Choil, Afilu BeMekadesh Acheres. Rabbi Yochanan says that he can do Kiddush even outside the Azora. The Ha Pora de Tamuye Metaminon Lei. We know that the Kohen who is going to process the Pora Duma, they are Metamim after he does Kiddush. He first does Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim, and then they are Metamim the Kohen. Disnan Metamim Hoyu HaKohen Hasuri Fasapora Umadbilin Oisoi. What they would do is they would Metamim the Kohen after the Kiddush, and then they would immediately have him immerse in a mikvah, and then he would go ahead and do the Pora Duma even before the sun set. Why did they do this to the Kohen? L'hoitzi milibon shel tzedukin shoyomer b'muurve shemesh hoisa nasis. This was to preclude the approach of the tzedukim. The Tzedukim were a group of people who did not accept Torah Shebaal Peh, and they were of the opinion that Pora Duma is to be processed only by someone who, if he had been Tomei, he has to wait for the sun to set as well. And we know through Torah Shebaal Peh that that's not true. It's sufficient if he is, it's even a person who is Tomei is allowed to do the even someone who is a Tvul Yom is allowed to do the Pora Duma. A Tvul Yom is someone who had been Tomei and simply immersed himself in a mikveh before sundown. So they did all of this in order to demonstrate that we don't accept the ways of the Tzedukim. But after all is said and done, what do we see over here? We see a Kohen who did Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim, who they were then Metameh. They threw a sheretz on him, making him Tomei. And he doesn't have to do any more Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim. Shma mina loy posla bo tuma. We see that the Kiddush is not ruined by tuma. The Gemara says, you can't bring a proof from here. Shiny para, hoyol de tvul yom kosher bo, lo posil bo. Lo posil bo tuma bekiddush shela. Pora is different. Since the basic Pora Duma is to be done by a Tavul Yom, therefore, Tuma does not ruin his Kiddush. However, in the case of the Beis HaMikdash, where a Tavul Yom is not allowed to do Avodas HaKorbonos, he's not allowed to process regular sacrifices, it could very well be that Tuma will ruin his Kiddush. The Gemara asks, Ihochi, if the Pora Aduma is different and that even a Tvul Yom is allowed to process it, Lama Li the Mekadesh, why bother doing Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim for such a thing? Answer, Ke'ein Avoda Bo'inan, because in dealing with the Pora Aduma, we try to parallel it to a real Korban. It's a symbolic type of parallel, but it's not, after all, a real korban. Therefore, we can't bring proof from the effects of tuma with regard to Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim when speaking about the Pora to cases of the real thing, so to speak, of korbanos that are done in the Azara. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.